Good morning. Welcome to Lincoln County Connections. And good morning, Katie Jacobson.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. We're just going to just really jump right into it today. But, you know, thank you for tuning in to Yaquinta Communications. We're very grateful for the opportunity to come countywide. Yes, Katie Jacobson is here, and we will talk about her taking office in January. That's one thing we want to touch on. But really, we're going to talk to you about Shop at the Dock, OSU Extension, and maybe touch a little bit too on how your transition is happening there. So good morning.
Good morning.
Before we get started, just a few details. You know, I like to tell people, check out Lincoln County's homepage, because under What's New, you see kind of like what's the latest news. And if you click on More, you'll see all of things that are tagged as news items coming from Lincoln County as an organization. And one of the things that we've been doing is, we're done with our third public meeting, we're calling them, with our consultants in regard to the Commons. So we went to Yahats, and we went to Toledo, and we went to Lincoln City. And basically where we're at right now is we've had three master plan visioning committee meetings, and then we've distilled sort of possibly what the Commons might look like in terms of layout and amenities. And we're asking for the public to provide their feedback on what they see. So you can actually take an online survey and look at the proposed structures. And really, it's very, it's still very open. We're looking for feedback. Katie, one of the things I realized last night was, you know, in reviewing the mission statement of the Commons was the focus on youth. And I realized I was in Corvallis Saturday, and I stopped by the splash pad, you know, like a fountain. And I ran through the splash pad, and I thought, oh my gosh, could we have a splash pad at the Commons?
Splash pads are good.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
My kids love them.
Yeah. Even good for adults. So, but those are the types of things we're looking at. The orientation of the structures and, you know, the size of these structures. This is still malleable. We're still looking to have the community say, what would be, you know, what would this look like that would draw people? So we are going to, and I will within the next 2 days, post a video online of the consultant's presentation, and you can match that right up with the survey and see those structures, see those financials, and really chime in and give your feedback. So if you couldn't make those meetings, that will be online. So that's going to be awesome. Oh, Lincoln County Fair.
Lincoln County Fair is like coming up. If you have not yet heard, we moved it from August to July. So it's like right around the corner.
Yeah.
In fact, if any of you were interested in doing open class exhibit entry, some of that is entered this coming weekend.
Oh, okay.
So you kind of want to get on that.
And that's kind of like the 4-H thing, or you don't necessarily
open class
have to
is
be...
not 4-H. Open class is maybe unit sweaters, Casey, and have a great one you want to enter. I don't know. Yeah. So open class is not 4-H. The 4-H entries are, I believe, Monday and Tuesday, but open class happens over the weekend.
Yeah. And I've seen you running around there with like fishnets and all kinds of stuff.
Oh,
anything
yeah.
like that this
Every,
year?
Everybody at Extension always has some kind of role there. And this year, no fishnets this year, but we are in the year of celebrating Lincoln County Extension's 100th year. We've been around 100 years this year, 2018. And so we were having a centennial barbecue to celebrate that on Sunday, July 8th at the fair from 11:30 to 1 or until we run out of food. And we'll having albacore tuna and hot dogs and potato salad and some other stuff too, cake. And that's free. And getting into the fair is free. So you literally can get a free lunch.
Yeah.
That day.
Well,
so,
and awesome. You know, and we should say that, you know, Todd Williver, your staff, such a huge proponent of the Lincoln County Fair and all the work that they do. Big time.
They do a lot. Yep.
Yeah. Big time. Oh, one other thought, too, here. You know, biosolids has been a big issue. We've had a lot of people coming in talking about their concerns with biosolids. Last week at the commissioner's meeting, I thought Council Belmont gave a really good staff report on, you know, where we're at, what are all the factors we're trying to consider, the stakeholders, and we're really kind of in a data gathering mode right now. We've also got these OSU law students, these externs looking at the legal implications, what kind of authority does the county have, and so I took the excerpt from that meeting and put it up as a video. So it's really kind of a nice snapshot, I think, at where we're at and where we're going. So that's online, too. But without further ado, let's talk to Katie Jacobson. And Katie, you know, one of the most common questions I get is, when is Katie taking office?
I do too. In fact, there's a lot of people that have been like, why are you still at Extension?
That's right. Right. They think it just happens.
Yeah, what are you doing? Yeah, it just happens. So I take office in January, and it's actually the 7th of January I take office. So I will be at Extension and Oregon Sea Grant essentially until then. You know, I might take off a little early from Extension sometime in December or something like that for holidays, but I'll pretty much be there up until the end. So
you know, for you, how long have you been a team leader for OSU Extension? Is that the term?
County leader.
County leader. Okay.
And that is, I think I'm my fourth year doing that. Man. So when I leave in January, that will be, I think, completing my year number four. And a county leader, several years ago, Extension kind of went through a reorganization of their administration for Extension. We used to have an administrator, basically a boss, in every Extension office. Those were called staff chairs. We went to a regional model where we have regional directors that oversee multiple offices. So our current one for Lincoln County is Wiley Thompson, who sees Columbia, Clatsop, Tillamook, Lincoln, Coos Curry. There we go.
I did it. He's been with you at several of the budget meetings.
Yeah, he's fairly new, so he's kind of come around to meet people. And then, so that's kind of our boss. But then within each Extension office, there is a county leader, which is what I am, that basically is supposed to be doing the marketing and promotion for Extension, kind of carry the local relationships. And they're also the budget authority for the tax service district.
So as far as your replacement as county leader, it seems like there's going to be a new one.
There will be. I'm not sure who that will be. That's kind of Wiley's, up to Wiley's discretion of how he wants to do that. We do have several faculty members within Lincoln County, and we even have Wiley himself who could potentially take that rollover too. So I'm not sure how that will go. And then the bigger part of my job is working for Oregon Sea Grant and doing fisheries extension work. And that is just starting. They are just starting the process of beginning to have conversations about replacing that part of my job. So they are going to replace it. It's probably going to be a little bit different than my exact job title, which I think is right on. I've been in this job 15 years, and certainly, you know, what I thought I would be doing and what my PD position description said I would be doing, what I actually do are different. You know, things happen in 15 years, issues change, all of that. And so they're basically trying to, you know, keep up with what I've actually been doing and create a position sort of around that. So a search chair has been identified, and they're starting to have conversations here in the next month or so with community members to kind of get some insight on the work I've been doing and what I should be doing and that kind of stuff, so that they can start building the position description before they go and search it. So,
yeah. Well, a lot of transition because, you know, as being inside the commissioner's office, you know, I'm curious to see your transition as you become a commissioner and Terry passes on his deep knowledge to you. And then, of course, you've got a transition out of OSU Extension. Yeah. So lots of transition.
It is. And, it's sort of incestuous sometimes because like I was writing a list of people the search chair should talk to about who I work with. And I was like, oh, well, Terry's got to be one of those. I've worked with them so heavily over the years. On stuff. So it's like, he's got to help, replace me. I'm replacing him. And, you know, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. It's exciting, Katie. And I'm sure it'll go well. But let's take a break and we'll be back with Katie Jacobson in just a moment on Connections. And welcome back to Lincoln County Connections. We're talking to Katie Jacobson. Katie, so we're kind of talking about transition, but I did want to ask about your history because, tell me about what it's like to grow up in a fishing family. And I mean, your dad was a fisherman. I mean, how does this fit into your upbringing and your view of the world?
Yeah. One of my favorite things to talk about actually is growing up in a fishing family. Great, great way to grow up. And, you know, really a huge value on hard work, huge value. I mean, still to this day, I have that huge value of hard work. from being a part of a fishing family. And also just an ability to not worry about like literally getting your hands dirty, you know, like sometimes you just have to sort of like pull up the sleeves and do stuff and learn stuff and just sort of not worry, you know, not worry about it. Just do it. And also just, you know, fishing families are really unique from a culture, especially when I was a kid, there wasn't cell phones. When my dad was in Alaska fishing, communication with him was really challenging. He could call when he was in shore, but there was like a 3-second delay. So it would be like, hi, Dad.
Wait.
Hi, Katie. You know, so you really couldn't have a dialogue. You know, it was more so just hearing his voice. My mom had to make lots of sort of household and parenting decisions and handling stuff really on her own, because, you know, one, she couldn't get a hold of him, and B, you know, he was on the ocean anyways. And so, you know, she really, in a lot of ways, was a single parent for a lot of her parenting duties. And then he would be here and then they'd parent together, you know, and deal with the household together. And then he'd leave. And then, you know, she'd go back to sort of being in this single mom mode. Yeah, so really unique way to grow up. I really enjoyed growing up that way. I really enjoy the fishing industry. You know, in a lot of ways, that is my culture. When people tell me, oh my God, you're just super direct, I'm like, yeah, that's how I grew up, you know, like when something needs to get done on the boat, it's not necessarily a discussion. Like it just sort of needs to happen, you know?
Well, so, you know, where did the transition for you, happen to, pursue it, academically or the science of, you know, aquaculture or fishing? I mean, do you remember any kind of transition point where you thought, you know, maybe I'll run the boat or maybe I will, you know, have a different trajectory? What was that like?
I mean, even pretty young, I knew I kind of wanted to go into natural resource stuff, maybe forestry, maybe, I'm not sure, but it was always very sort of science and natural resource oriented. You know, my dad was both a fisherman and a professor at OSU. So I had both the fishing piece and sort of the academic piece that I grew up with. And then I remember kind of making that switch into going into fisheries and kind of marine science stuff, working for Fran and Don on marine discovery tours for many years and working at HMSC as an educator in the Oregon Coast Aquarium and really working on kind of marine education kinds of things, mostly with kids or family audiences and enjoying that. And then I remember sort of in the early 2000s when we had the groundfish disaster here and we had a lot of fishing families really struggling and suffering and a lot of vessels being bought out and a lot of things happening to our industry. And there just was a, there definitely was a role in that. Jenny Globlerish at the time, fisheries extension agent, was working on that. But I also just kind of thought, you know, I need to get back to my roots here. Like I like teaching kids about whales. It's great, but I see where I need to go. I need to go back to my culture. I need to go back to industry. I have this awesome science background. I'm an educator and I see where I need to go. And then just a couple of years later, Jenny actually retired. They tried to replace her. They put like, I think a PhD requirement, on that role. They could not find anybody to replace her. They dropped a lot of the academic requirements.
On the Sea Grant position?
Yeah.
There was at one point a PhD requirement?
There was. I think there was a PhD preferred, master's required. I did not have my master's degree yet, so I couldn't apply. Went through the search process, couldn't find anybody. They dropped the master's requirement. I applied, got the job. I was super young. I was 25 years old when I got that position. And I've essentially been there ever since and really done a lot of interesting work through that role. I think what's been interesting for me is just knowing sort of the evolution of that position with my dad being the first extension agent, fisheries extension agent in the nation and working closely with Jenny as well. It's really changed. Each person that has had that job has really done something different with it. And for me, I've been a lot more science, oriented, working with a lot of scientists and a lot more sort of education and outreach oriented. So not only am I sort of an expert in fishery stuff, but I also know a lot about building and designing outreach programs. And so I spend a lot of times working with scientists and agencies and community members thinking about how to do outreach and engagement to a community. I do that over and over and over again, multiple times in a week with different groups. So it, it's an interesting role. I've really, really enjoyed it. And I am also sort of excited to see the next person in that role and get to work with them in my new role and see what they bring to it and carry to it.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And well, and I appreciate you. Thanks for, you know, kind of filling us in on, you know, how you got to where you are now, because, you know, I think as a tour guide of Shop at the Dock makes you very well informed. But let's take our last break and we'll be back with Katie Jacobson in just a moment on Connections. I'm Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer. We have Katie Jacobson with us. And Shop at the Dock is coming up. We did touch, for example, on how OSU Extension will be present at the upcoming Lincoln County Fair. So, Katie, where do you want to begin on this? Because we got a short time left. I know this is online. So.
I'll just pitch it real quick. Yeah. So Shop at the Dock, if you don't know about it, it's an opportunity to come and learn about the commercial fishing fleet here in Lincoln County, but then also learn how to buy seafood off of vessels that are directly selling it to the public. The whole reason we do this program is based on some research from several years ago that talked about people don't always buy seafood directly from fishermen because they were scared and kind of intimidated by the process.
Yeah.
And those who did learned from a friend. So we're your friend. We'll walk you through the process. And so we start that July 13th, also on the 20th of July and 27th, and then August 3rd, 10th, and 17th. And we have tours starting at 9:30, 10, 10:30, and 11 on all of those days. And we meet on Port Dock 5, which is across from Local Ocean Seafoods. There's no address for Port Dock 5, so you kind of use Local Ocean as a as an address for your GPS, park the car, and walk across the street. Yeah.
You know, as a evolving chef, and I shouldn't even use that word, as an evolving contributor to the food-making process in our household, you know, I've found fish like almost the easiest thing to cook in short order, and nothing more pleasurable than having fresh fish. I mean, it's just phenomenal, you know, and I love that you're bringing this experience to people and kind of pulling away maybe really what are only barriers in their mind of how accessible this is. But Katie, so I mean, is it good to bring an ice chest? I mean,
yeah, if you plan on buying that day, bring an ice chest with some ice in it. Some of the vendors take credit cards, but cash is also good. Cash is king. Yeah,
I gotcha.
You don't need to like haul the ice chest out of your car with you, and on the docks you can like leave it in your car, but have it there. So if you buy something, you can bring it back. You do have to buy a whole fish. So like when buying an albacore tuna, they're required to sell you the whole fish. They can't just sell you a piece. So besides the ice chest, like be prepared that you're buying a whole fish. So if you have company coming over that weekend and you can eat it all, great. Find someone to split it with. Get your backpacker ready if you're going to put it in the freezer. Just be prepared that you're bringing home a whole animal to deal with.
Gotcha.
So you kind of be ready for that. Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised at how much fish I can eat in one setting sometimes. You know, I just pull it right out of the frying
Me too.
Pan and put it on the plate. It goes very fast. And so, but I imagine part of this experience is, and as we kind of discussed your background with Sea Grant and, you know, your history, really there's a lot of other information to glean here, right? I mean, you must talk about all kinds of cool stuff.
We do a dock walk first, so we kind of stop and talk about the different vessels and what they catch and the gear they have and how they're managed.
Nice.
So how our fisheries are managed and why fisheries are sustainable and that sort of thing. And then each of the people that do the tours, I'm one of them. There's three or four others I have that do them. You know, when I get the surveys back at the end of the tour, when I read them, I can always know whose tour it was by what people say they learned. Because for me, it's always like, oh my God, you know so much about all the management and policy end. Mm-hmm. And then I have a fisherman's wife, and it's always about, wow, the family aspect is super interesting. I have one person that's kind of a foodie that doesn't. It's all like, oh my gosh, like I learned so many recipes, you know. So I think each person kind of brings something different to how they tell the information. I have had some people that call me up and want to go on Shop at the Dock with a different guide. So they will say, who's working this day? Who's working that day? And they have gone on all of them. So it's always a little bit different, but I think we always try to focus on management, sustainability, and then sort of that buying piece.
Well, Katie Jacobson, thank you. for coming. Sorry, we got to go, but find more information at LINE, OSU Extension Newport.
Yeah, and Facebook, Oregon Sea Grant Fisheries Extension.
Okay, thank you, Katie Jacobson, and thanks for listening today. Shop at the Dock, coming at you.